This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Joining me on Stockbox today is Mick Billing, the CEO of Thor Mining. So, hello Mick, how are you?
G'day Mark, it's been a while and nice to talk to you once again.
Yes, it has been a while, hasn't it? And how are you faring in Australia? How's the whole health crisis affecting the country or the business?
Look, Australia has largely, not completely, but largely dodged a bullet, particularly compared with a lot of the rest of the world, Mark. We were able to take action earlier in the cycle of COVID, if it is in a cycle, and shut down access to the country relatively early. As a result, yes, some people have died, and that's been tragic. But and some people and a lot of people have been out of work and their lifestyle changed, but in comparison to the UK, Europe and North America, etc., we have got off remarkably lightly. That could change, of course, but hopefully with the vaccine just around the corner, or and you guys are starting to have some of your people try it on now, we might have just got away with it.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good to hear. That's just good to hear. So what I'd like to talk about on this interview today is sort of forward-looking with Thor. There's a lot of projects in the portfolio. We've got the familiar names such as Kapunda, Molly Hill and Pilot Mountain, which we'll come on to in a few minutes. But Ragged Range, which is the recent sort of new project with the company, taking maybe a slightly cynical stance, what is it that makes this project different? You know, how do you turn it into a company maker and realize value from it?
I guess the way to do that is to put some drill holes into some of the anomalies we've got, Mark, and we're getting ready to do that. But what we do have, we are extraordinarily confident of, is at surface or very near surface gold. You don't get fine gold in stream sediments downstream from the area where we now think the anomalies are, without the gold being almost at surface or almost at surface, because it weathers and is abraded away over millions of years with rainfall, etc. So we know there's gold there. Is there a lot there or just a little bit? The grade's high or low? It's time will tell there. What we do know is that there is gold in the system. It's inconceivable that the source of those sedimentary findings are not within our tenement. Geography and geometry will tell us that. And what we do have from the recent geophysics is have identified some sites where there are ideal traps for gold bearing fluids to be caught in many years ago. So we've got a very good ingredients, and we're going to be drilling that. I think there's one more site visit to do a bit more sampling and to sort out some access tracks to that, and then we can start that. I suspect we'll be drilling February, March, or thereabouts, and we're really looking forward to that, because we've got the ingredients for something pretty tasty. Now the Pilbara is quite a popular area for gold exploration right now in Western Australia, and for very good reason. There's some very sizable and quite good grade deposits being found over the last 5, 10 and 15 years. We hope we're going to be one of those.
Okay, good. So let's move on to the uranium project. Now, the dynamic of the uranium project, I think, came in with the raise that was done at the time. So was that the rationale for the raise, was to bring in the uranium project? And again, what is the plan there, and what do you want to do to make a difference?
Yeah, I've been in the uranium industry previously, Mark, quite some time ago. And my view has been for some time that a uranium project is a big thing to swallow for a small company like ours, unless you've got a particular advantage or two. And I believe we have here, particularly with the prospects in Colorado. It's an area where there has been traditional, quite high grade uranium production, and some quite high grade vanadium production that sits there with the uranium. So high grade's a good place to start. Importantly, though, if you're going to permit and fund the construction of a uranium processing facility anywhere in the world, you've got fairly quite sizable environmental hurdles for very good reason, and as well as quite sizable financial hurdles, because you've got to do it well, you've got to do it safe, and the gear is not necessarily all that simple. What we have quite close to the Colorado licenses in particular is a processing plant that is in an operation. It's only running at about 25% or 30% capacity, and it has in the past traditionally taken ore on a toll treatment basis. So the hurdles for development of a new uranium mine or group of mines in that part of the world are much, much lower than they would otherwise be.
Okay, so there are plans to take action on the uranium. You're not just riding on the coattails of that sector at the moment.
No. We do plan to drill that. We've got a program being scoped up now for permitting with the local authorities. Mm-hmm. It certainly won't take place until after the snow melt. Because access is a bit difficult during that period for one-off programs. So you could imagine April-ish a drill program. We've got several targets in and around historical mines that we want to test. There's also a target that has not been mined, but we cannot think of a valid reason why it wasn't in the past, other than somebody was warehousing it back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So we obviously want to test that. Time will tell whether it wasn't mined or wasn't. I don't even think it was drilled back in those days. Okay. So we need to test it, obviously. And hopefully we'll find a tremendously rich body of ore. But it's something we will test, and we are planning to do that around April.
Okay, around April. Okay. Now let's come on to Pilot Mountain, which is, of course, the tungsten project. Now, there was a lot of talk about the USA wanting homegrown assets or homeland assets. It's been on the strategic metals list for quite a long time, and I believe there's been some ongoing discussions with various parties on securing investment, you know, new money coming in. How realistic is this? What difference will it make, and how much potentially might you have to give away of the project?
Mark, the first thing that needs to happen for Pilot Mountain to get a deal done is for the tungsten price to go up a bit.
Okay.
And that's exactly the same with Molly Hill.
Okay.
The tungsten price has been depressed all year. It was at relatively low levels compared with the historical average at the end of last year when COVID came in, the tungsten price went down. Mm-hmm. And while copper and zinc and nickel and iron ore have all come back up again and perhaps exceeded the, in some cases, well and truly exceeded the levels that they were back in January, February, tungsten has stubbornly stayed down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that will change. I think it'll change as once we come out of COVID-19, governments will start to throw money at a whole bunch of infrastructure developments around the globe to get the world, get the economy going again. And that's the sort of thing that that augurs well for the tungsten metal. So we're in a holding pattern with that project right now, and also for that matter with the Molly Hill development.
Okay.
I don't expect. We are talking to various people. We've had some people run the ruler over this mark, and one quite seriously that didn't work for them at the time, largely because, in my view, the tungsten price wasn't attractive enough for them at the time. Others are sniffing around, but it does require the tungsten price to go up and for some confidence that it will stay up before any serious deal making will be done, I suspect.
Okay, so it's fair to say then that's maybe on the back burner and the focus is on the other projects, at least for the time being.
That's correct. Our focus is on our copper, our gold, and the uranium for now, definitely.
Okay, fair enough. So let's talk about Kapunda. So it's the copper, but also it has gold. And from memory, I think there was one drill hole that came back at, like, was it 100 meters at 3 grams per ton or something like that. If that result came out today, that would be great, given the market for gold at the moment and the sort of the price action and the interest in that space. So the drill permit at Kapunda, it's a bit overdue, isn't it? Is it 4 months overdue? So what is the deal with Kapunda, and is gold the secret to the success of that project?
Gold is a very exciting uplift factor for Kapunda. But Kapunda is, in our view, more than economic without the gold. The gold just makes it so extraordinarily exciting compared with a whole bunch of other projects, Mark. Drilling is delayed. But the regulatory hurdles have finally all been overcome, and we're now waiting on the driller because drillers are in demand in Australia right now. And so it will be, and of course the unexpected arrival of Christmas has got in the way of getting things done as well. But we now expect that drill program will start late January. I was hoping for mid-December, but not the case.
Okay.
Because he's in the middle of a job that he has to finish before he moves on to ours, and that's taken longer, and that job has lasted longer than he had expected. Kapunda has there's a lot going to happen at Kapunda in the next 6 months. There's some drilling for gold. There's some and there's the field test work where we actually drill some holes into the ground. We pump a solution in to dissolve the copper and the gold, and then pump out to surface a solution containing both copper and gold. Mm-hmm. And that's the final piece of technical feasibility that would allow us to start doing commercial feasibility. Now, that work will all take place in the first 3 months or so of this year, or the drilling work will. Mm-hmm. The test work itself will go on for several months. It's not quite, but it's almost like a mini pilot plant. And out of that come all the ingredients we will need for commercial feasibility study. Now, all of that work, or just about all of that work, is funded by the Australian government grant. So there's no drain on the Thor funds for mm-hmm. that purpose. So a lot will happen at Kapunda in the next 6 months, and We're very excited about it. Yes, the gold intersection you mentioned, 95 metres at just over 3 grams from surface, is tremendously exciting. It's very exciting when we've been able to demonstrate that the product we're going to use to dissolve the copper also dissolves the gold. Now, not all of the historical assays from gold from drilling where they assayed for gold came in at 3 grams. That is, but the best. The average is probably somewhere one and a bit, which is still not bad. Particularly then when there's sufficient copper to make the project worthwhile in its own right, anyway.
Okay. Now let's just come on to sort of the financials of the company. And I appreciate you probably can't tell me how much money or cash is left in the bank, but maybe you can give an indication of how sort of well funded Thor are going into 2021.
Yeah, sure, Mark. As we did put our hand up at the end of September and said how much money we had in the bank, and because we're required to do that under the ASX listing rules. If we had, and since then we've had about 350,000 come in from the sale of the Spring Hill royalty. So, you know, if you put those two together, at the end of September, we had about 1.2 million pounds. We've still got most of that. We will be spending money on drilling at Ragged Range. We'll be spending money on drilling in Colorado in the next 6 months. There's an awful lot of work going to happen at Kapunda without that we will get the benefit from without spending any money at all. We will also be doing some work on this new project we've picked up, Alford East, copper in situ recovery style project, but I don't believe we will need to do a lot of drilling there because there's an enormous amount of drilling, historical drilling in there that we've got some consultants pouring all over at the moment. But I hope that the main focus of what we'll be doing going forward is the technical studies to confirm that it does pass all the tests for in situ recovery that we have already managed to do at Kapunda, but there may be some drilling. So yes, it will be a period of some activity, but I'm here to tell you that right now that all of that is funded. There's still best part of $2 million of Australian government grant money in that project, most of which will get spent in the next 7 or 8 months. But that will fund all those activities at Kapunda. So, we don't have, we're not free of having to do a capital raise in the next, for another 2 years or more, obviously. What we do have also is a bunch of warrants, or actually they're options because they're ASX listed options that are in the money, well and truly in the money. And if they were exercised, that would bring in another approximately 1.2, 1.3 million Aussie. So I don't think investors might have to fear for or start gossiping about another capital raise early in the new year.
Okay. And just a final thought then, Mick, before we finish, is I want to sort of ask you how you feel, because I remember that there certainly was a time, you know, a few years ago, 2-3 years ago, when there was definitely a lot of excitement around Thor, and, you know, it was going places. And it seems maybe that it's lost its mojo just a little bit recently. So how do you feel about everything and the future, and how can Thor deliver shareholder value, you know, with a cost-effective strategy?
Mark, I think if you compare the share price now with the share price at the beginning of 2020, we've improved this by somewhere between 3- and 4-fold. That's not a bad start. I am really excited about the direction we've taken in the last couple of years, and I have been part of the driving force, obviously, for this push towards Thor being going into copper. I think I am extraordinarily bullish about copper. I believe that the assets that we have, that we are investing in, have the capacity to be very low cost copper production. And I do like being in metal production rather than just exploration. The latest thing in gold, that may fizzle. Early stage exploration projects don't always mature, but this one has some extraordinary tasty ingredients. And so we're quite optimistic about that. And the uranium projects are, there's some nice ingredients there. I don't see why we can't, if we've delivered, compared with the beginning of the year, a share price increase of between 3 and 4 times, I know that in the back half of 2019, the share price was belted around, but I believe we can repeat that and better in 2021.
Okay. Well, Mick Billing, the CEO of Thor Mining, thank you very much for your time.
That's a pleasure, and nice to talk to you once again, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @StockboxMedia.